Well, some people think that our current age is marked by a generation that's lazy. Now, maybe you've heard this before. I mean, I can see why some people may think this way, and I even see how it can sometimes look that way on the surface. But honestly, I don't think we're lazy. I don't think we are. I think we just lack purpose. You see, I think our world, at least in Western Canada, Canada or the Western world, has developed to the point where we're no longer content with just living or like working for a living. Like I think our parents' generation was okay in just having a living because living was hard and we were just happy with that. But people these days, they want to know that they're living for something more. They want to know that there is a purpose in their life, a deeper purpose, a greater purpose. And they want to be a part of something. In the words of Thomas Carlyle, the person without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. It's a purpose we need. And not just a purpose, but a purpose that is larger than ourselves. I think all of us have this sense that we want to be a part of something, maybe a group, a family, an organization, a cause, that we're working together with other people on something that's actually going to make a difference in this universe. You know, like we only got one life to live, and we want to make it worthwhile, deeper meaning to our life. Now, maybe you feel this way. I know it's certainly a way that I feel, and it was certainly, definitely a way that I felt when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, you know, I was at that stage where you're trying to seek what is the meaning and purpose of life, or my life, and, you know, what is the direction that God wants me to go. I found that deeper purpose in the Bible, more specifically in sort of the grand story of the Bible that we find ourselves in, and how the story of the Bible is about a grand mission and a people who are with God on that grand mission. And for me, it all began with Jesus because Jesus was like the perfect example of a life that was lived on purpose. And I love to just read the words of Jesus and to study the words of Jesus. And the Bible tells us very, very accurately that Jesus came for a purpose, for a mission. And he started that and then he left it and he left it in our hands. And so now, if anyone is a follower of Jesus, they are, in a sense, inheriting that grand mission of Jesus, and they are with Jesus, a part of him on that mission, a part of not just Jesus, but his church, which is like a group of people. And so whenever we're on mission or serving Jesus, it's like we're standing on the shoulders of Jesus and all these other people that have come before us, and we're building towards this grand mission, which is his church, which is that which has been built on for 2,000 years, and we are a part of that. And for me, that's what I wanted to be a part of. For me, that was that something that was bigger than myself. And in that way, the church is like a mission cooperative. And I always like to call the church a mission cooperative because it's a bunch of people together cooperating together for the same mission. And that's beautiful. No matter how, you know, you choose to frame that mission, it's the same mission and we're on it as part of God's universal church. There's an old joke that goes that when Jesus ascended into heaven, please keep in mind, it's a joke. It's not theology here. So Jesus ascended to heaven, the angels gathered around him and they said, Jesus, did you accomplish what you came to do? And Jesus said, yes, you know, I went and I did it. It's all finished, but not yet. So the angels said, okay, well, what is there left to do? And Jesus says, oh, well, now I have to go and take my message into the whole world and draw all people onto myself. And they said, oh, okay. So what's your plan, Jesus? And he says, oh, simple. I got like a handful of guys down there and a bunch of other people, and they're going to go and they're going to finish this. And the angels sort of looked around at each other and they looked at Jesus and they said, okay, what's your plan B? And we'd all think that there should be a plan B, right? Because it's a big mission to carry out, to just leave to us to do. But that's the point, my friends. There is no plan B. We are plan A and plan B. That Jesus wants to accomplish his mission, the mission that he started. He wants to see it fulfilled and realized through you and me. We are a part of that mission. And in case you're not familiar with that mission or what exactly it is or where it comes from, I think it was most clearly stated by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We sometimes refer to this as the Great Commission, and this is what it says. And the 11 disciples went on to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. End of chapter. That's a powerful mission, wouldn't you say? But what's interesting is that this isn't the only time that Jesus commissioned his disciples. He actually had commissioned them earlier, and it was sort of like a trial run for this great commission. It's more like a good commission, but it's very significant. And that's the passage that I would actually like to focus our attention on today. And it comes to us from Matthew chapter 9, so about 20 chapters earlier, and begins in verse 35. Here we go. I'm losing my spot here. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." That's a powerful commissioning. And he spoke that to his 12 disciples. And we see in the next chapter, he actually then sends out the 12 disciples to actually go out and to do that which he told them to do. And this really tells us a lot about God's mission, since it's a snippet of his mission. And what he says to his disciples bears a lot of weight in terms of what he wants for us. And what it says specifically about his mission is that there is an absolute sense of urgency and opportunity. Urgency and opportunity about God's mission. We see here that Jesus is expanding the kingdom of God, and he's preaching and he's teaching about the kingdom of God, and he's healing people and helping the needy. And then he commands the people, his disciples, to go and do likewise. And what's important to see is the sense of urgency Jesus has in sending out his disciples. He was motivated because he had a deep compassion for the people. When he saw the people in need, it was the compassion that drove his sense of urgency. In fact, we read in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. See, Jesus looked at the people, he looked at them, and he could see them like sheep without a shepherd. He could see them in need, and he had compassion on them. And it drove him to call for his disciples for all hands on deck. He said, "All hands on deck. If you are my follower, you must go right now. We cannot even wait." I think he was waiting for the Great Commission, but he couldn't wait any longer when he saw it. And he said, "You know what, we just need to just, even if it's just for a little while, we need to go out now." And because of that compassion, he sent out his disciples. He said, "All hands on deck." This expression, "all hands on deck," which is sort of the title of this message today, is significant because it was a term that used to be used on ship when there was in the colonial times, when there was a situation on a ship and it was so urgent that it required everyone to get involved right away, they would call "all hands on deck." And everyone knew what it meant when you called "all hands on deck." It meant it didn't matter what you were doing, like if you were on the toilet or you were sleeping or if you were doing something already, it didn't matter. It didn't matter your capacity, by the way. It didn't matter if it was your first time on a ship or you're an experienced seaman. It just didn't matter. You had to get on deck and you had to help out because something was that important. That's why Jesus is calling all hands on deck, because the mission was so important. And today, I think the mission is more important than ever. I think the mission of Jesus is more pressing than ever because there's people all around us. In fact, there's even people in our church that may not know the love of Jesus, that need to know the love of Jesus, and are perishing if they do not know that. My friends, that is pressing. There are people in our midst, in our communities, in our circles of influence that are depressed. There are people who have no friends. There are people who have struggles in their families and in their relationships, and maybe their marriages are falling apart. There are children who have never heard about the love of God. There are youth that have not even one positive Christian influence in their life. I mean, there's needs around us. There's needs. The mission is pressing. It's urgent. There are people who may die tomorrow, or people who may consider killing themselves tomorrow if they do not know the love of Jesus, if someone does not talk to them, even today. And my question would be, do we care about that? And how much do we care about that? Because the more we care about that, the more compassion we have. And compassion is what drives the mission. It's what drove Jesus It's what drove him to send out the 12 disciples. It's what drove him to call everyone to get on mission. You see, my friends, it's our compassion for the hurting and the needy and for those who don't know Jesus. It's that compassion which drives us. And Jesus had this compassion. We need to have this compassion too. A compassion that says it can't wait. Can't wait till next month. It can't wait till next week. It might not even be able to wait till tomorrow. As soon as we see it, we need to act. It's that compassion that needs to drive us. But you need to realize also that Jesus saw opportunity about the mission too. And this is something we also miss. We miss the opportunity in these verses. Jesus said in 37 and 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest then to send out workers into his harvest field." So what Jesus is saying here is significant because it actually flies in the face of, I think, what is a common misconception amongst churches and Christians today. And that is that there's no opportunity, right? It's difficult. We say the soil is hard. People don't care. They're disinterested. Times have changed, or the culture's too far gone, or these people, you know, there's too many hurdles, whatever. According to Jesus, that's not the problem. The problem is there's not enough workers. Jesus is saying here that our community is bursting with potential. It's bursting with potential. And I know this because sometimes I'd say I can come into church on a Tuesday morning and I study the word and I pray and I discern some things and I think about the opportunities and the needs that I've seen throughout the weekend and as I've talked with, you know, my non-Christian friends. And I can quickly, on a Tuesday morning, become very overwhelmed because there's just, to me, there seems like there's so many needs and so many opportunities and I'm just like one person. And I just think like, can I even make a dent in this? But I'm frustrated because it's just me. And so often I become sort of like a mobilizer of people to try to make more of an indent. Like Jesus was clearly a mobilizer of people. But I think Jesus probably felt this pain of not being able to meet all the needs even more than me because Jesus had a wider perspective. He could see many times more than me all the needs and the opportunities there was out there. Yet, like me, he was limited by his humanly body. And he could only do so much with the time that he had. And I know this is how Jesus must have felt because it says that he had compassion. And this word that we translate as compassion from the Greek is more telling because in the Greek it literally means a gut-wrenching reaction. So when Jesus saw the people in need, he had like this, it wasn't just like a sympathetic compassion. It was like a gut-wrenching reaction that you could physiologically feel. It would like bend him over. And that's how much he cared for the people. And that's how much we need to care. This compassion to help others needs to drive us. It's so important. My friends, there's just simply so many needs that can be overwhelming. And I know that a lot of people can't see those needs because a lot of the needs, especially in our culture today, they seem hidden, like under the surface, like you can't see. But believe me when I say the needs are there. I mean, I often are part of those secret conversations, and I see the needs, and I see the hurt, and you wouldn't believe how much need there is out there. And sometimes, yes, it does hurt me when, you know, you want to start up these ministries to address some of these needs, but you just don't have enough workers. You just don't, and you don't have enough resources or attention span, and so you have to limit what you can do. Or when you actually go about putting on these ministries, and believe me, I can feel the frustration of ministry leaders too when they work hard to put on ministries, but then no one participates. No one comes because no one invited. And maybe no one invited because they didn't even know anyone that they could invite because they hadn't developed those relationships. My friends, it's a sad day when that happens because the harvest is plentiful, but it's often, as I find is true, the workers are few. I can tell you for a fact this is true. And I can tell you for a fact that ministry leaders, they struggle time and time again when they perceive that if we just had more workers, then that would help us to go a long way. And that's why I'm calling for all hands on deck. That's why we have those serve cards and why we're encouraging you this season to get connected into the church and to help out. Because there's so much that our church is doing and trying to do to help people and to reach people for Jesus. And it doesn't necessarily just mean preach the gospel. I know sometimes people think, well, I want to help out, but they're not moved because they can't see how their behind-the-scenes effort are actually making a difference for the kingdom. And that's so important, because sometimes you have the compassion, but you don't see how does my compassion actually translate into this little thing that I'm doing. Like, people may think, well, when I think of discipling someone, I think of sharing the gospel with them. But I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a public speaker, or I'm not an apologetic, or whatever. You know, I'm good with children. And they can't see how working in the nursery is actually helpful in bringing someone to know Jesus. But I know, and I tell them time and time again, that discipleship is a journey. And there's lots of people in this church that are in different parts of their spiritual journey. And there may very well be someone in our church, like most people, that can get a lot out of the message, or about the songs that we sing, or the announcements, or just being in the presence of God. But maybe, let's say, they're a young family, and they can't because they have to be always minding their children. I try to help someone see that if you work in the nursery and you help to care for those children, you are actually making a difference, because you're helping somebody to be discipled. And how much is someone going to care about the church if the church doesn't seem to care for their children? See, it makes a difference, my friends. It's called the chain link principle. And the chain link principle basically just says that every time you do something in serving in any small way as part of the body of Christ, you are putting one chain in the link of someone coming to know Jesus. You put one link in the chain of helping us accomplish our mission, no matter how small it seems to be. The Bible always talks about the church as being a body, and how the body has many different parts. And if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body was an ear, then where would the seeing be? I mean, Paul always talks about this. Everyone has their part to play. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to maybe paint a picture for you to help illustrate to you how even the smallest things can make a huge difference when it comes to the kingdom of God. I'm going to relay a story to you. It's a story that's taken place in churches that I've served at. I've seen this story take place. It's a story that takes place in many of our churches across Canada every single week. And it's maybe a story that's taking place in this church. I want to talk to you about Sarah. Sarah's just an average mom. She happens to live by a Christian family. And she's gotten to know this Christian family over the years, and sometimes they invite her over, and they say hi, and they shovel her sidewalk. Sarah struggles, you know, with the normal things that young parents do, raising kids and whatever. But the Christian family comes and they help out whatever way they can. And sometimes they invite her to church. One time in particular, they invited her to church, and it was on social media, and they had an invite card from their church. And it was a good series, and it spoke to her life, and she thought she would go and she would check it out. And so she decided to come to church the next Sunday. However, it had snowed a whole lot the day before. She didn't know what she was going to do. But thankfully, someone from the church had organized that the church parking lot be cleared the night before, and so she was able to get into the church with her small sedan. When she entered the church, it was warm and it was toasty, because there was a volunteer who had served to organize the installation of new services, had called the repairman when those furnaces went down, and yes, there was a volunteer who went around and set the thermostats, making sure that they were on at the appropriate time. When she came into church, she was greeted with a smile, a bulletin, and most importantly, she was provided with a coffee. All things that were provided by people who were dedicated volunteers serving in the church. And so when she's in the service, the coffee keeps her awake, because she was working late the night before, her second job, trying to support her family. The message she heard, she could hear and accept easily, because the mics were on. And someone was working in the back to keep her children safe and secure, and were keeping them happy and giving them snacks, and was also teaching them the Bible in a way that they could understand. The message that Sunday told her that the Bible teaches us to be compassionate to others, just as Jesus was compassionate to us. She was able to take notes provided in the bulletin, and she put it on her fridge at home. Later that week, she was reminded of this truth, and she decided to reach out to a fellow mom who she knew who was going through a rough time as well. She befriended this mom, and she invited her to church. There was an event that was put on there by volunteers, and because of those volunteers, they were able to go to this event. There was a group, and through that group, this lady was introduced to other moms in the church. And eventually, they accompanied her to a church outreach event that was put on by, again, some leaders in the church. This mom got plugged into serving in the church, because there she felt a sense of ownership, and she put some skin in the game. There she was able to meet more people in the church and build more long-lasting relationships. And that mom eventually gave her life to Christ, And she joined the church where she continues to grow and to serve and to help reach others for Jesus. My friends, this is a story that does take place. I've seen it take place. And it takes place because of the chain link principle. Because there was many, many people along the way that were serving, that were caring, that were part of God's mission. Remember, a mission cooperative. There's many people cooperating together to make that person and their discipleship a reality. This is just one example, of course, of many that I could list. And therefore, I really would challenge you to be obedient and heed the call of all hands on deck, because it's so, so important. And I would so invite you to pray, not just now, but even in your own personal times when you're having devotions or when the Lord brings it to mind. Would you just pray for the mission? You know, would you pray, as the Bible says, that the Lord of the harvest would raise up workers? Because he's the one that does it. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that calls. He's the one that raises up. And so I invite you to pray with me now as we ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers. Oh God, you're so good to us. We're reminded of that time and time again that you worked harder than anyone to reap a harvest. Each one of us here, Lord, even myself, I can speak to this. That I am here, that I'm a follower of you because there was people that invested in my life. There was people who structured a church that I could go to that had a youth group where I could hear the gospel. Lord, there were so many pivotal people along the way that you placed in my life by your grace to help me, because you've always called us to be co-workers with you in the mission. I thank you for those people. I just want to right now, Lord, thank you for each and every single one of those people that served as one of the links in the chain of my coming to know you and to serve you. Lord, I wouldn't be here without their prayers and their support. And Lord, I want to pray that you would raise up even more people, for you said that this is what we should do, that we should pray for the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers. Because we know, Lord, that there is opportunity, more opportunity than we could even grasp. And that if we had more workers, we could take more opportunity. Oh, Lord, would you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us to do this, Lord. Help us to serve in a way that is driven by compassion, that is driven by your compassion first shown to us, that we would serve you with sincere hearts, not out of obligation, but out of our sincere love for you and love for others and desire to see them come to know you as well and your love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.